Morning to Daniel chapter 12, page 1037, if you're using a Bible in front of you, one of those black Bibles under the seat in front of you, you can read along with us. I'm asking you to turn to Daniel chapter 12, and then also put a bookmark at Revelation chapter 19. Everybody knows where the book of Revelation is, right? Very last book in the Bible, all the way to the right. So we'll be looking at a few verses out of Revelation chapter 19 and 20 this morning. So please, Daniel 12, Revelation chapter 19. Let's pray. Father, fill your people this morning with hope. And Father, I pray that you would greatly motivate all of your people here this morning to serve you wholeheartedly. Lord, as we consider the days in which we live, the war that is raging right now all over the world over the souls of men and women. Bless this time. Encourage your people. Draw your people close to you. Draw others who do not know you, Lord, into your kingdom this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I tell you, it is so easy to get discouraged as a Christian when I look at all that's happening in this world. It happens to me a lot. I get discouraged. I look around the world and I see so many things falling apart, don't you? I mean, I see the atrocities being committed by these Islamic terrorist groups. I mean, we're talking about people being beheaded, Christians being murdered. Everyone's sort of on edge going into this next week as we go to the 13th anniversary of September 11th. You know, I wish those Islamic terrorist groups would just go away. I think they need to be taken out. And then I look around our country and I see how morals and absolute values are deteriorating. I see how marriages are failing and families are failing. Lives are being destroyed with drug addiction, alcoholism, pornography, crime, abuse. So much corruption, so much destruction. And our secular entertainment world glorifying all that. Our country continues to face huge challenges politically, economically, domestically, and abroad. And the anti-Christian force around the world just seems to get stronger and stronger every week. There are these people that are relentless in trying to push God out of every sector of public society. I mean, you look and on every front, it seems like the bad guys are winning. Do you ever feel that way? It's like Satan is running amok. Well, it is easy for us to get discouraged, but I want to remind you, the Bible teaches that a complete and total resounding, dominating victory is coming for the kingdom of God. Do you understand? It is coming. And if you are a Christian, you are a part of that victory. I love these first three verses in Daniel chapter 12. These are prophetic verses that are looking forward to the future, and they speak of the victory that's coming. Christian, look at your future. Verse 1 says, "At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Now, this first verse in Daniel chapter 12 is speaking about a specific time in human history. And this is going to be a very troubling time in human history. In fact, it's going to be the most troubling time in all of human history. It says in the middle of verse 1, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. So now, this, of course, is speaking about the final years of human history. If you've been with us in our study of the book of Daniel, you know that things don't get pretty. You know about the tribulation period. The Bible teaches that the final 7 years of human history are going to be very tough. We refer to those final 7 years of history as the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years of that time period are going to be relatively peaceful, but the scripture teaches that the second 3.5 years, are going to be hell on earth. As it says here, the greatest, most troubling time in all of history, it's coming. Jesus spoke of that time in Matthew 24. He said, "For then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved." Now, there are a lot of people out there that like to think of the human race as getting better and better. And that eventually we're all going to get along and learn how to live with one another, and we're going to put our own little utopia on planet Earth. Baloney. The Bible says that it's going to get much, much worse. If you think it's bad now, it's not nearly as bad as it's going to get. And remember what we've learned about the tribulation period. There's going to be one world ruler at that time, the guy that the Bible refers to as the Antichrist, a guy in charge of the entire world, a one world government in charge of, one world religion in charge of, one world economy in charge of, the military leader of the world. He will reign and rule and demand that people bow and surrender to him. You'll be tied to him economically. In those days, you will not be able to buy or sell unless you have his mark on your hand or your forehead, which we've seen can be fulfilled. It's a prophecy that can be filled today through these chip implants and things like that. As we studied last week, this guy will exalt himself above God. He will demand that all worship him. Those who refuse to worship him will be hunted down and killed. And the Bible speaks of that time with the same brutality and cruelty of an ISIS. According to the book of Revelation, he will attempt to exterminate all descendants of Abraham, physical and spiritual, every Jew and every believer. And the book of Revelation tells us that thousands upon thousands of believers will be martyred in those days. Now, you add to that everything that you find out in Matthew 24 as Jesus is speaking about the last days. And chapters 6 through 19 in the book of Revelation, you have these plague judgments being poured out upon the earth. You have earthquakes everywhere, pestilence, crops destroyed, pestilences that kill humans like Ebola, water shortage. The Bible predicts hyperinflation, bloodshed, freak storms. The Bible says in those days there will be disturbances in the heavenlies, cosmic disturbances. The sun will go dark, the moon will be red, asteroids and meteors will hit the Earth. By the way, do you know that there's an asteroid passing by planet Earth this afternoon? Asteroid 2014 RC, about the size of a small house. An asteroid the size of a house crashing on planet Earth at 30 miles per hour. It would have an amount of energy roughly equal to the bomb that fell on Hiroshima. Perhaps 20 kilotons. An asteroid like this would flatten reinforced concrete buildings up to half a mile from ground zero. It says, in the last days, things like that are going to be happening. You know what trips me out about this asteroid? It was just discovered a couple months ago. Very, very recent. There's 900,000 of those babies out there, and scientists know about 10%. Do you understand that there's coming a time when the globe, the planet, is going to experience bloodshed? Craziness like never before. It'll be like God picking up the universe like one of those snow globes around Christmas time. Shake it up and you see all the snow. So it's going to get worse. If you think it's bad now, Christian, listen, it's going to get worse. The Bible does not candy coat anything. But look what else verse 1 says. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be what? Delivered. That time is coming to an end. God's people will be rescued. The nation of Israel will be rescued. When will that take place? At the most glorious event in all of history, when Jesus Christ comes back. Literally, his second coming. The 7-year tribulation period ends up with the Antichrist and all these forces gathering against the people of God. And at the end of that 7-year tribulation period, Jesus comes again. Delivers his people. And in fact, I would like you to read that with your own eyes. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Please leave a finger here in chapter 12 of Daniel. Look at Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 11, the second coming of Christ. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And look at verse 19. Look what happens to this Antichrist, this guy called the Beast. And I saw the Beast. Verse 19, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. That is very graphic, isn't it? The second coming of Christ will be much different than the first coming. The next time he comes, it won't be as a cute little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and light in a manger. Second time he comes, He comes as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He wipes out the Antichrist, all of those forces of evil, puts them down, rescues his people, delivers his people Israel, and those who have given their life to his son, those who have survived martyrdom, who have not been found or martyred by the Antichrist. He will set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, a kingdom of peace, prosperity, and righteousness. He's coming. He will put an end to all this garbage. Amen? Amen. There will be no more ISIS. Victory's coming. For 1,000 years, Christ will reign here on the earth. And then if you look further into the scripture, after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, you have a new heaven and a new earth. And as far as you can see out into that eternity future, there will no longer be any sin, wickedness, death. How many of you long for that? Oh, I long for that. I'm so, just to see what sin does in people's lives. There's coming a day when that's all gone. Jesus Christ will right every wrong. Justice will be served. The forces of evil will be destroyed. Christian, live your life in the knowledge of that victory. Amen? The battle's hard here. It's strong. But the victory's coming. And there's many, many, many people in your life all around you that need to come to know Jesus Christ. Go back to Daniel chapter 12 and look at verse 2. Notice what else is going to happen in that day. Verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Did you know that there are people that teach you can't find the doctrine of the resurrection in the Old Testament? Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 is in the Old Testament. And clearly we see resurrection. A resurrection from the dead is coming. Massive resurrection is coming in the future. And you talk about victory. I mean, for most people, death is the big unknown. It's the end of the line. It's the black hole. Most people totally are afraid of death. But as Christians, do we have to fear death? No, we do not, because Jesus Christ has defeated death. And there's going to be a resurrection from the grave. In fact, the New Testament is perfectly clear. If you are a Christian and you die in this age, your soul will immediately go to be in the presence of the Lord. Your body is going to be put in a hole. Your body is going to go to sleep. It's going to return to the dust. You will go to be with the Lord, awaiting a resurrection day. And when the resurrection day comes, you will be reunited with your body. Not your old one, thankfully, right? Amen? You will get a brand new body, a much, much more new and improved you, a body that's fit for heaven, a body that's fit for all of eternity. The Bible calls it a glorified body. It'll never die. It won't get sick. You will be given a brand new body. You will be raised to new life. And my brother and sister, if you have Christian friends, relatives who have died, you're going to be reunited with them one day. We have that certain hope. So we live in victory. You don't have to fear death. Now, notice something. This is very important to see. Look what it says again in verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to what? Everlasting life. And some to what? Shame and everlasting contempt. So resurrection days are coming. The Bible teaches this. Some are going to be raised to eternal life. Some are going to be raised to everlasting shame and contempt. Now, what does that mean? I believe that the Bible teaches three resurrection days that are still future. I believe there are 3 days coming where there are mass resurrections. And the very first one is going to be at the end of the church age before this 7-year tribulation period begins. It's a doctrine known as the rapture of the church. I do believe Jesus is coming for his church to get us out of here before all that judgment gets poured out. And I am so glad to be missing out on the tribulation period. How about you? I believe the Bible teaches Jesus is coming for his church. Paul the Apostle speaks of that in 1 Thessalonians. Let me just read it. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture. At any moment, Jesus can come. Every Christian that has died in church history will be raised at that moment. And those of us who are alive on the planet at that time as Christians, which I certainly plan to be, I don't intend to dying at all. The thought of dying, I just don't want it. I want the Lord to come and rapture me out of here, don't you? In an instantaneous twinkling of an eye, those who are alive on that day will be raised up, caught up out of this planet, body transformed. That's the first resurrection day. I believe the second resurrection day will come at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. Okay, the church has been raptured out. Now the tribulation period happens, 7 years. Remember, during those 7 years, many believers are martyred. Many Christians, many people who become Christians at that time will be killed. When Jesus Christ comes again at his second coming and the church comes with him, there's going to be another resurrection. And I think it's speaking of that resurrection here in verse 2. Now, I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. It's very important that you see this. So we have the rapture of the church, right? That first resurrection. We have the 7-year tribulation period. At the end of this tribulation period, when Jesus comes again, another resurrection. Then he's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. Look what we read in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 20. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God. Isn't that interesting? That will be the mode of execution, beheading in those days. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. You see that? But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So you see, after that tribulation period, more of God's people are raised, those that were martyred during the tribulation period. Nothing's happened with the wicked, though. All those who have died without Christ. Then we get to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. After the 1,000-year reign of Christ, there's going to be another resurrection. Look at verse 11 of Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The third resurrection day. Very graphic. The wicked are raised to life to stand judgment, only to face what's called the second death. I want you to understand something very, very important. The Bible teaches that we are all living forever. We are all living forever. And we will all be raised. Some will be raised to everlasting life. Some will be raised for everlasting contempt. And I just want you to, which one are you? The Bible says, you can know for sure that you are in the victorious kingdom of God and that you have that resurrection in your future towards everlasting life if you give your faith, if you give your heart to Jesus. Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again that third day, he will change your life. He will save your soul. And only he can do it. The Bible says he's done everything to save people. But you read the scripture and you find out that there are going to be people who, for whatever reason, reject Christ. Don't you be one of them. Don't you be one of them. You know, it's interesting. It says there's a second death. For those who never receive Christ, they experience a second death at the end of this age. They experience a physical death, and then they go into a holding tank, and then later they're raised up only to face the second death. So I want you to think about it this way. If you're born once only, you're going to die twice. Born once, die twice. Born once physically, But never born spiritually, you're going to die twice, both physically and spiritually. However, born twice, die once. Born twice, physically and spiritually, becoming born again by faith in Jesus Christ. You only die once. You won't face the second death. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Which are you? Notice also that we've read in both passages the idea of being written in a book of life. You know, there's a book that you better have your name written in. Amen? The book of life. There's only one way to get your name written in the book of life, and it doesn't work by your honor, by your hard work. You don't become this awesome guy and go to church and do all of these good works and so that God, wow, I'm impressed, let's write him in. Doesn't work that way, does it? The Bible says nobody's works righteous, no, not one. Righteousness comes through faith in Christ Jesus. How do you get your names written in the Lamb's book of life? You give your life to the Lamb. You invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And he will make you born again, born twice, and he will write your name in the book of life. Quickly, look back at verse 3 of Daniel chapter 12. This is one of my favorite verses. There probably isn't a week that goes by in my life that I don't think of Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Because look what it says. Look at the promise. Those who are wise shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Christian, do you understand that in this great, awesome, glorious future that God has for us, there are rewards for us? And if you as a Christian will be faithful to the Lord in this short life, if you will serve God with your life, if you will be committed to, as it says, turning many to righteousness. By the way, where do we get righteousness? In Jesus Christ. The idea is we have to be those who live our lives turning many to Jesus. That means serving him, living for him, pointing as many people as we can in our lives to Jesus Christ, and being faithful and diligent and serious. You will be rewarded in the next life. And it is an eternal shine. And I want to exhort all my brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning, go for the eternal shine, not the earthly shine. Go for the heavenly shine, not the Hollywood shine. Go for the shine that lasts forever. Not for the temporary one. And you understand that there are many, many people who live out their lives here for that earthly shine, for fame, for the big career, the big wealth, all of this kind of stuff. Hey, look, you may shine, but it'll be very temporary. Do everything for the Lord. All the resources that you are given from the Lord, use it for his glory. And you'll shine eternally. Earthly shine is so temporary. Let me ask you, who won the Super Bowl 10 years ago? And you're not allowed to Google it. Nope, you can't Google it. Who was the MVP of the Super Bowl 10 years ago? You don't know. 10 years ago, it was a huge deal. Big. Big man. 10 years later, we can't even remember. Jesus said it would be a tragedy for you to gain the entire world and lose your soul. Go for the eternal shine, man. Put your rewards in heaven. Christian, it's tough. This life is hard. Bible says it's going to get harder. But as the people of God, you know that you live in victory. Amen? Never forget what Paul said to us as Christians, concerning us as Christians in Romans chapter 8. He said, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I want to invite you, as my brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, to evaluate your life. Are you living for Him? Are you living for Him? Are you way too caught up in the earthly shine? You got one life to live. One. Spend it wisely. Maybe some of you are here this morning, my brothers, my sisters, and you are incredibly discouraged. Really hard things. Well, I hope you leave this place with a skip in your step. Understanding where it's all headed. There may be some of you here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ. You've never bowed. You've never surrendered. You know, there's a reason I actually had you read these passages for yourself. Because a lot of people hear stuff like that and go, do, 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 do. That's weird. Well, you've just read it with your own eyes. I've taken you to the very passages in Scripture. It's real, man. Are you saved? If you do not have Christ in your life, you are in danger. But if you have Christ in your life, you are saved. And you can walk in victory. Did you know you can walk in victory right now? Did you know that your marriage can thrive in Christ Jesus? Your family, your business, your relationships, your witness to other people. You can walk in victory, even though it's a struggle, even though it's a battle. Father, I pray that we would take this message to heart. Lord, I do pray for those who are hurting here this morning, for our wounded in action, for Christians who have been hurt while trying to serve you, maybe going through difficult times right now. I pray that you would heal them. I pray that you would reaffirm your great love to them. Pick them back up and put them back in the fight. I pray for those who have walked away from you, Christians who know you but aren't living for you. Draw them back to you. Rededicate your life to Christ this morning if you need to. And then, Lord, I would pray for anyone here this morning who doesn't know you, who's never surrendered. You need to receive Christ as your Savior. You need to admit that you are a sinner. And that Christ has died on the cross for your sins. Rose again that third day. He's alive. To save you, he's right here in the room, man. To save you. But you must receive him. You must invite him. And I will lead you in a prayer right now. You simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord, I bow my heart before you. Take over my life. Wash away all my sins. Write my name in your book. Make me born again. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. Let's stand. If you prayed to receive Christ this morning, we're going to have leaders up here in the front who would love to share with you how you can begin walking with Christ.